What, no, you came in the 90s.
99.
So, you've been in 11. Okay.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson.
I will convene the Senate Committee on Rules for April 17th, 2009. Just a couple of announcements. You may have noticed, both on the committee and in the audience, that we have a different committee administrator. We sometimes have workload issues within the body where skills are needed in one place or another. Our very capable committee administrator is now helping the judiciary committees in the House and Senate. We very much appreciate the work that she did for this committee, particularly around a bill that was not that contentious in the committee but took a lot of work to put together, the reform of SB 10, SB 30. And for those people that appear before the judiciary committees, you may occasionally see Ms. Nuss. With us here today is somebody that's also familiar to you, Ms. Erin Seller, who will be the new committee administrator. I believe this is your latest advancement in the building, is that correct?
Correct.
And we're looking very much forward to working with her as a committee administrator. She's very excited, particularly to be working for this chair.
I can see the excitement written all over. I just wondered if you had thought, you know, normally using your accustomed forethought to get the before pictures, you know, because she's bright and fresh now, and this is the beginning of her tenure with your committee, and we should get the before pictures so that we can compare them with the after pictures at the end of the legislative session.
Well, I also think you kind of misspoke that a little bit. Ms. Seiler was on my committee, Business and Transportation, through yesterday, and she only agreed to come on to this committee because I was still a member of this committee as well. But, I mean, I just want you to know that she did a sensational job with us in Business and Transportation, and so she's ready to take anything we can throw at her in this committee, I'm sure.
Okay. And I think she is very aware of the work of this committee. I think we always try to do things in this committee in a very respectful manner of differences of an opinion, but we will occasionally have differences of opinion. Is that a fair statement, sir?
More than fair, Mr. Chairman.
I'm actually trying to see if Senator Nelson is going to appear, because
Mr. Chair, I'll introduce a job shadow that I have today.
Yes, yes.
Just to buy some more time. Seated to the far left is a junior at Cascade Christian High School, Brad Arkins. Mm-hmm. And he is my job shadow today. And following my book, he showed up with everything buttoned, has the right pinch in his tie, and his shoes are shined, and we have no floor session. But anyway, he's shadowing me for a glorious Rules Committee, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I think we can, thank you very much, Senator Atkinson. I think we can go ahead now. We will move the agenda forward to SJR 39. Will the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, SJR 39 recognizes and honors Pendleton Roundup Centennial Celebration.
I do see that Representative Jensen is here. Would you like to come forward and identify yourself for the record, even though I know you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, sir. I'm State Representative Bob Jensen. I represent House District 58, which includes the community of Pendleton, which is the home of the world-famous Pendleton Roundup. Thank you, Senator Devlin, Chair, and members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and to introduce to you or bring to you a couple of the members of the Pendleton Roundup board to kind of present this this bill. This is to SJR 39 is a measure to recognize the 100th anniversary, I think, of the Pendleton Roundup, which will be a a really major little economic stimulus shot for not just Pendleton, but the entire state of Oregon. So I would appreciate your help and support in moving this this measure forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any questions for Representative Jensen?
Other than, was Representative Jensen there for the first roundup?
I made it to the Mr. Chair and Senator Metzger, thank you. I've been accused of being a busboy at the Last Supper, but I somehow missed the first roundup.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Along those lines, I've been to a number of roundups, and I was always disappointed that I was, when I went to Happy Canyon, it was after the time that the horse used to jump into the pool. Do you remember when the last year was that the horse jumped into the pool at Happy Canyon?
Senator Devlin...
He was atop the horse chair. When the horse jumped into the pool.
And Senator Burdick, no... somebody spiked the pool one year, and the horse refused to jump in after that.
Maybe some of our other witnesses can answer the question.
Senator Nelson, would you please come forward and identify yourself for the record?
Letterbuck, maybe that's. Let's go to the Letterbuck room. Hello, I'm David Nelson, State Senator from Pendleton. For the record.
And is there anything you want to say?
I'm sure that the good...
He's already done.
Representative Jensen has told everything about, you know, what more can I say about the roundup? It's just, it's part of Oregon's, the icon, our part of the country, of the world, so, you know, Letterbuck.
Yes!
I knew this coming! Letterbuck!
Okay. Anything for our two distinguished witnesses? Any questions? None. Thank you both for coming here today.
Yeah, well, you know, there's an open invitation to any of the legislature to come to the Pendleton Roundup, and we'll find you a place to stay someplace and get you tickets. I don't want to influence your votes, though. You know. Every legislator ought to go to the Pendleton Roundup. Every legislator ought to go to the Shakespearean Festival. Every legislator ought to ride the MAX. You know, we got to get out and do things, and you know, Pendleton Roundup is just such a unique event that I hope you do pass this resolution out and we can move forward. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair,
yes.
I would like Senator Nelson to know that I am 3-for-3.
You're 3-for-3? All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, members of the committee.
Jennifer Hudson, Kevin Hudson, and Carl Culham. And please proceed in any order that you have chosen to proceed in, and just identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Hudson, and as you know, I work for PacWest Communications. But to hear today, I am in the capacity of a volunteer for the Pendleton Roundup in support of SJR 39, recognizing the 100th year celebration next year. As you will read in the resolution, the roundup is wholly put on by volunteers under the guidance of the Pendleton Roundup Board of Directors of two distinguished members I have here with me today. I first volunteered in grade school selling programs and as an usher. And in high school, I moved on to be a tour guide at the Hall of Fame Museum and worked in concessions. Since then, I've helped in Room 17, the souvenir booth, security trailer, and the letterbuck room. And my story of involvement is fairly typical for people from Pendleton, for whom the roundup experience and volunteerism is not only a yearly event, but it's really a lifelong endeavor of community service. Today I'm before you with my latest volunteer effort, and I hope you will pass this resolution in honor of the Pendleton Roundup because and to also recognize its cultural significance for the state. Many times the East Side is overlooked, and I just want you to know that this is a huge effort. They will go into some of the plans specific to the centennial celebration today, but before I turn it over to them, I wanted to leave you with one piece of trivia that I freely admit I was unable to substantiate, but I've heard for many years now that since the 1960s, every successful gubernatorial candidate has visited the Pendleton Roundup in the year that they were elected. Just throwing that out there and reminding you it's the second full week in September, should anyone be interested. Next up is Kevin Hudson, and in full disclosure, he's my father, the vice president of the Roundup this year. And we'll be happy to take any questions.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Kevin Hudson from Pendleton, Oregon, and I am the vice president of the Pendleton Roundup Association. This is my ninth year on the board. We're pleased to be here today to promote the Roundup's 100th year celebration in 2010. And serving on the board of directors is a year-round job. The rodeo is Pendleton's biggest event, bringing approximately 60,000 tourists to Pendleton during the second full week in September. The other 51 weeks of the year, our population is about 17,000. It's a community-wide effort to accommodate that many visitors, and Pendleton's economy and that of the entire state benefit to the tune of about $22 million. The planning for next year's festivities has been in the works for some time. One major component we've been working on is the renovation of our stadium. And built in the 1950s, it's due for an update. It's going to be a phased-in project with the construction of new sidewalks, entrances, and perimeter fencing that's underway right now that'll be ready in time for this year's show. Some bigger projects like rebuilding the West End bleachers that were built in the 1960s as temporaries should be done hopefully in time for 2010. We expect the 100th to be our biggest and best. Invite you all to attend. It's always in the second full week of September, and we hope to see you there, and thank you for your time, and be happy to take any questions.
Okay. And we'll go to your third party, and then we'll take questions.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, and members of the committee. My name is Carl Cullham, and I'm the publicity director this year for the Pendleton Roundup. And I have no prepared statement. I'm just here in support of the resolution and to assist in any questions the committee might have.
Any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do any of you know when the last year was that the horse jumped into the pool at Happy Canyon?
Well, I don't. I was in Happy Canyon for, well, my family's been involved for about 50 years. We wore a dress in the Happy Canyon show, proud to say. Didn't figure it was a problem. It was only four nights a year. But, I don't really recall the last time the horse jumped in the water on purpose.
Does your daughter have photos?
There are photos.
Oh.
And there are photos of my grandfather, my father, my uncle, and my brother, and a younger cousin. The park's been in the family for 55 years. If you've been to the Happy Canyon, it's the big lady with the little husband, and they're the big lady.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Any additional questions? Well, thank you very much for coming here. Thank you from coming the distance that you had to come here. And I think we will move forward on this resolution very quickly. So,
very good. Thank you very much.
I will close the public hearing, open a work session on SJR 39. We have no fiscal, no revenue impact statements.
Mr. Chairman, I would move SJR 39 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. It has been moved to move SJR 39 as presented to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing no objection, motion passes. Senator Nelson will carry. Okay. I will now go to I will go to 465 first. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 465. And I believe Senator Atkinson is coming down to testify before the committee. So I'll wait till he... Can the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 465 directs Legislative Administration Committee to repair and restore stairwells on either side of the rotunda of State Capitol and equip stairwells with modern glass skylights over stairs to use volunteer labor to clean and polish all brass pieces in the original part of the Capitol. The bill appropriates money from the general fund to Legislative Administration Committee for the projects, does declare an emergency effective upon passage. We do have a -1 amendment provided by Senator Atkinson that replaces the measure and removes the general fund appropriation and directs the Legislative Administration Committee to use monies available under certificates of participation authorized by law to finance capital renovation project. Currently, there is a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. For the record, Jason Atkinson. I represent Southern Oregon. This measure, some of you may smirk at it. However, I will remind you that it took about 8 years to get some of the things on this punch list taken care of. It was originally when I introduced a bill regarding state parks that Senator Metzger was very helpful on, but two sessions before that, it was the good Senator Farioli who signed on to a measure, was trapped by a reporter, and came up with the phrase, I think that there's, I think he actually wrapped the word terrorism with porta-potty in the same sentence. But notwithstanding, this is an important measure, and I think the best way for me to explain it, and I will keep explaining it until it's done, is by showing you about 3 minutes of an intro and then about 2 minutes of the actual problem from a film that I produced. So if that would be okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to show those to you.
Yes, that would be fine.
You can dim the lights.
And now we will see if our technology actually works.
Well, the Capitol Mall is full of people. We have displays from all over Oregon. Over 3,000 Oregonians are here today to celebrate Oregon's 150th birthday. This is yours?
Yeah.
I'm Senator Atkinson.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Well, I live in Southern Oregon for 10 years.
Whereabouts?
Central Point.
That's really. Mm-hmm. Central Point. Just left there this morning, actually. Yeah, I drove one of these.
Didn't you see me come up?
Mr. President, the 35th Congress of the United States of America, at the second session, began and held in the city of Washington on Monday, the 6th day of December, 1858, an act for admission of Oregon into the Union. There's 121 stairs, which is easy if you haven't been shot. I'll fast forward to the bill. See this grate right here? This isn't actually a grate. This is a skylight. When this building was open to the public in 1938, Right across the street, there was a young Mark Hatfield who used to give historical tours of the brand new Capitol building. And he noted that in that time, the most beautiful part of this Art Deco Capitol architecture was the fact that natural light came through there and reflected off all of this brass, and it reflected all the way down to the basement, so that these old stairwells glowed. Last year, I held a brass polishing party where I got Brasso myself, put on coveralls, and started polishing this brass just to show people what over 4 years of neglect does and the acceptance of doing it the wrong way looks like. So one of the major pushes I have on restoring the old building is getting these skylights replaced and getting this brass polished, and it's just a matter of time because I will get it done.
Mr. Chair, thank you for your indulgence. That is what this bill does. It's very simple. We have a huge amount of volunteers, and if my summer hadn't have gone the way it went last year, I was working on involving Boy Scouts and Young Marines and the Girl Scouts, and there was another group that we were all working on one day where we'd come and load all these kids up with Brasso and turn them loose. Now, while that may give shock and horror to Herb sitting over my right shoulder, is he back there still? Is he in shock and horror?
No, he's still sitting upright.
Okay, good. The Dash Ones do two things. Number one is it uses the balance of the funds that are available after the restoration of the building that was done to the wings to show that there is cash that's available. I have spoken to several large foundations about purchasing and finishing the skylights. But I've also spoken with the director of corrections, Max Williams, about perhaps using prison labor and getting this stuff cleaned up. Now, if you look, I did make some handouts for you, and some of the pictures on the handouts, if you'll look at those, will show you, actually, a couple of pictures reference the next bill. But if you will notice, we have this, the architecture of this building is wrapped in brass. And on the very last page, you will see some front doors from, I believe, New Mexico, and I think this other one comes from Arkansas, where they actually took care of their Capitol building. These pictures here is what our Capitol is supposed to look like. That's what ours is, black with tar, because we've decided collectively, I think in the late 1950s, early 1960s, that we wouldn't take care of it. And so it's black, and everyone assumes it's black, but it's supposed to look like this. So the question before us is, there's four skylights, can we get two of them replaced, and can we have the brass polished throughout the building and beautify it? That's simply what this bill does. Now there's, if you just by way of one other reference, all of you that notice when you go to your offices, you'll see a nice tube sconce light. That sconce light, which sits in right before the glass with your name on it in the district, that was chosen directly from the committee that several of us worked on to match the exact replica of the sconce lights that are in these stairwells. The sconce lights in the hall, the sconce lights in the stairwell are more for Art Deco effect than they are light. If you replace these lights, you will actually add tremendously to the natural light that happens on the third and fourth floor. Everybody wonders, why is the third floor so dark and gloomy? They probably never thought about it, but they should ask the same question, how come the front of the Capitol is black when it's supposed to be brass? So that's simply what this bill does, and I would be delighted to answer any questions and have the push from this committee to get this done.
Okay. Any questions for Senator Atkinson?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just want to thank you for your personal interest in this, and I would love to see this done.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Why don't you stay, since you're going to be leading into the next bill also.
Sure.
We do not have committee members for the sake of the record. We do not have a fiscal and revenue statement back yet on the bill, and obviously we do have the amendment to the bill. I will see to it that when we bring the bill that we have a fiscal impact on the amendment also. So,
Chair Devlin, just by way of record, this doesn't cost very much.
I know.
The only thing stopping this from happening is willpower. That's the only thing, which is what stopped the wings from being restored and had the water in the drinking fountains polluted for 25 years. The only thing that stopped it was willpower. And last session, we had the willpower to fix it. Now, as I've spoken with the executive being burned out of house and home, there will be, right in the same area, this restoration. And I'd just like to make sure that this gets done.
Okay. Any additional questions? With that, I will close the public hearing on this bill. And again, for the record, we cannot move the bill out until we have actually a fiscal impact statement from LFO. Would not obviously have a revenue impact, but we would have to have that also. The other thing is that I will try to ensure that we can get that both for the bill and the amendment when we bring it back so that we're not further delayed.
Sure.
We will go ahead and open a public hearing on the third bill. Will the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 661 changes boundaries of State Capitol State Park to include area now occupied by designated portion of Court Street and area north of State Capitol.
Thank you. For the record, Jason Atkinson, I represent Senate District 2. This bill is a little bit more visionary. If you are interested, the film that was made for school groups and kids and service clubs, and I'd be delighted to give you all a copy of it. But if you saw the film, you would understand where I'm coming from. The front of the Capitol, there's two issues that our state parks need to do. When Senator Metzger and Senator Courtney and Senator Ferrioli when everyone seemed to get behind the state park idea, the issue really became should the legislative branch of government take land that's under control by the executive branch of government? And that was actually a bit of a undersung tone of the debate. What this bill seeks to do is twofold. Number one, it seeks to beautify what we started last session by turning the front of the Capitol, instead of into a security risk, which is actually a genuine security risk, and a parking lot, and make that into a real mall. To accomplish that, I have provided you a map on the second page that would show that the portion of Court Street that I believe should be closed would turn into parking, perhaps for buses, and get those things out of the front of the Capitol. The other portion that drives this, if you look on the photographs that were left in the leave-behind material from the previous bill, you will see a collection of photographs that have to do with something that is a real eyesore, but we have no control over, which is the sidewalks. Believe it or not, the city of Salem, which gains a tremendous amount of money from the parking meters, owns the sidewalks. And if you look at the sidewalks on the Oregon State Capitol Mall, you cannot find, I think, more than 15 feet of continuously the same concrete. It's a patch job. It's in extreme disrepair. And what this bill seeks to do is just to beautify all of that also. I don't believe the city of Salem, which is actually has not even repaired, as Senator Walker testified or remonstrated a few days ago, has not even fixed the crosswalks. We have a crosswalk issue, we have an access issue, and we have these horrible sidewalks. So anyway, this simply is a visioneering bill to make this what it really should be, which is a people's mall, to take the parking lot aspect of it away and to beautify it. Now, again, this may not rise to the level of sophistication in a 12.1 unemployment state that we live in, but it is Friday. I will tell you that while this may seem minor to you, I was involved in a similar vein at Crater Lake. Now, how do you connect Crater Lake to the Capitol? I'll tell you. Crater Lake, which is on the Oregon Quarter, is an icon of our state. It's our national park. And for years, those of you that would visit it would drive up to the rim, and the first thing you would see is not the lake, or not the visitor center, or not the hotel, or not the science and learning center. The first thing you would drive up and see is a parking lot. And the Crater Lake National Park Trust, in conjunction, obviously, with the Parks Department, worked for many years to move that parking lot behind and to turn the front into essentially a mall. And it has been, at least on visitor surveys, it has been one of the most popular moves that has ever been done because people feel like they're visiting the national park. And I believe that should be the same thing for our state capitol.
Thank you very much, Senator Atkinson. Any questions?
Thank you. Would Heidi Stutz and Mark Bechtel come forward? If you would please identify yourself for the record, and either of you begin whatever you pre-planned. Okay.
My name is Heidi Stutzman. I'm the legislative liaison for the City of Salem. And with me is Mark Bechtel. He is the Parks and Transportation Services Manager for the City of Salem. And we wanted to come and talk to you today about some of the implications that Senate Bill 661 has. The City of Salem, the City Council, that is, has not taken a position on this bill, but we did want to talk to you about some of the impacts and considerations that this would have.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. Mark Bechtel, and again, I'm the Parks and Transportation Services Manager for Salem Public Works, and just wanted to briefly go over some what we see are maybe opportunities and concerns involved with Senate Bill 661. The largest one, of course, is that Court Street, whether you like it or hate it, carries a lot of traffic within the City of Salem. It is part of a one-way couplet of streets, State Street and Court Street, each going different directions, combined carry 19,000 vehicles a day. So it is a major east-west arterial street that goes through the downtown of and the central core area of Salem. It's the only east-west corridor between the Center Street, Marion Street, one-way couplet, and the Pringle Parkway to the south. The main issue, of course, is if you close Court Street, it then creates a traffic and circulation issue for the rest of the core area of Salem. We need to find a place for at least half of those 19,000 vehicles per day. What the city would then look to do would be to convert State Street into a two-way street so it could carry traffic in both directions. It would then also, we'd look at taking the remainder of Court Street, if it's closed in front of the Capitol, and making it a two-way street for its remainder between 13th and Front Street Bypass. There are some costs involved in doing that. We would have to modify 12 traffic signals, construct an additional traffic signal. There would be some issues with parking removal. The angled parking that you see on State Street would then have to be converted to parallel on-street parking. So there's all the parking meters have to be adjusted for the parking shifts. There also would be some loss of parking on Court Street itself. So there are some impacts to doing such a change. There also are some opportunities. The city have always been trying to find a way to work with the Capitol and DAS to find a way to improve the pedestrian access in front of the Capitol building. It's been an unfortunate situation where at times when the state has had money, we haven't had money to partner with them, or if we had money, the state didn't have money to partner with us, and we haven't been able to actually come together and make those improvements. The voters of Salem did pass a streets and bridges bond in November of 2008, and both State Street and Court Street are budgeted to be completely repaved. It's a deep reconstruction repaving of both streets in the summer of 2012. So we would, regardless of the outcome of this bill, we would be interested with the city to work with the state on, again, finding ways to improve the appearance and the operation of the crosswalk area of Court Street in front of the Capitol.
Any questions? Yes, Senator Metzger.
I just have one, and I don't expect that you necessarily will have a specific answer, but maybe just a general idea. If a different scenario were to be developed, for example, as you come down Court Street, as you approach the Capitol Park, any idea of what, just ballpark, I'm not going to hold you to numbers, but similar to Chemeketa, I mean, although a little higher, so maybe buses could go underneath, if you were to actually tunnel under or open up the earth and move for two blocks traffic from as it passed the Capitol underneath and then returned to above surface driving, any idea just kind of what ballpark of that type of a project, you know, might entail to kind of have it both ways, so to speak, where you don't have to do the other impacts? You know, I do chair a transportation committee, so I mean, if you give me some idea of what, you know, the scope of that might be. Do you have any idea?
Sure. Chair Devlin, Senator Metzger. Yes, in fact, we did look at that, and actually in the manner of traffic circulation, the city would prefer such an option because it would allow Court Street and State Street to continue to function as one-way couplets. So that's actually not a bad idea, and the issue brought up is a very important one, and that is the Chemeketa undercrossing is not deep enough to allow buses and trucks. Being that Court Street is a major arterial, we would want it deep enough to allow for the buses and larger vehicles to pass under. So it would need to be a deeper undercrossing, would require the ramps or the down approaches to be further back. And so that could create some issues with Waverly and Winter Streets. But
any idea of cost? I mean, just a ballpark of what?
Ballpark, we figured $9 to $10 million.
Really? That's all?
That's, you know,
I mean, the world that I'm living with, hundreds of millions, that's right a check. I mean,
let's just say for beginners, $10 million.
Okay.
As opposed to the other option, which was converting State Street, that's about $6 million.
And I could follow up just for a moment. I mean, this is just very interesting and put it in context. I would imagine, because of the existing infrastructure or anything else, that this probably would have limited EIS-type issues or things for that type of a project in this particular area in terms of scoping and engineering this type of a change.
Again, Chair Devlin and Senator Metzger, it depends if federal funds were used or not. If it was entirely state and city funded, we would not need to do the NEPA or the environmental pursuits. Now, there may be some state historical issues involved. There may be some ship.
Where the bodies are buried, you mean, from?
Well,
uh-oh, we ran into some.
Hopefully not in the literal sense, but there would be possibly some SHPO issues, some historical issues. So at a state level, there may be some environmental concerns. But if federal money were left out of the process, you would not have that federal level of review.
But you have one final question, Mr. Chair, if that's okay. But it sounds like you have done some preliminary look on this. This would not be the first time that the city would have looked at it, and at least some preliminary analysis has already been done as to that as a possibility.
Yes, that's correct. We've done some preliminary, and I would stress preliminary. So that $10 million figure is very preliminary.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any additional questions? Senator Atkins.
Yes, several. Thanks for coming today. Just so we're all on the same page, DAS is no longer involved. You don't have to talk to DAS. You talk to state parks, and that's been over a year. So that is the new home of who you talk to. Just a couple of – it's interesting. Nobody has said that this isn't a bad idea, and nobody has said that getting all of these school buses and all of the – really, if you look on there, double parked, really sweet double parked staff parking is not an eyesore, because it is. It just looks bad. I mean, it should be a mall which is standing where people can come, and we've all defended people's right to assemble out there. But here's a couple of issues I have, curiosity with the city. One, how much money does the city get from parking meters around the Capitol?
Again, Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, that's not part of my responsibility. I can't answer that question with any certainty.
We can get back to you.
Okay. A couple more questions along that line. When are the sidewalks that you own going to get fixed?
Again, Chair Devlin. Senator, the sidewalks are in the public street right-of-way just as any other sidewalks in the city of Salem. So they are within the city's rights right-of-way. The city code, Salem Revised Code, which was amended in 2007, places responsibility for the maintenance and repair of sidewalks on the adjacent property owner. So in this case, the state of Oregon would be responsible for the repair of sidewalks adjacent to its properties, with the only exception being if the damage is caused by city-owned street trees. So if the roots of street trees are heaving up the sidewalks, then the city needs to make those repairs.
Great. Can you give me a letter from your office on your letterhead to that effect so that I can take it to State Parks and get this going sooner than 2012?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Next question. When are we going to get the crosswalks painted so that senators don't get ran over?
Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson. We certainly don't want anybody run over in the crosswalks. We received a call from the Capitol Administration about the crosswalks in January. That's the time of year where we cannot put down new pavement markings. We must have dry and warm pavement to do that. So as soon as the weather is breaking, we will be going out. And, in fact, our striping operations are beginning next week. So very shortly you'll start to see the striping trucks and the markings being improved in Salem. It's weather-driven.
It would be a huge amount of good faith if we could see those get going while all of these politicians are here. Next question and final question, well, maybe final question. I'm into this.
Okay.
We, the Senate and the old dogs, which are with the present company to my left excluded, all the company to the right, canine reference stands. These old senators, all of us are sitting here, have a vested interest in the beautification of our capital and the mall. I mean, this is what, I mean, it is a legacy thing. And we need, not 2012, we need the city to take an active role in helping us beautify this. We really do. Not a crisis like somebody getting ran over. We need an active role. So how can you help us get this front part of the mall that you're, that's part of your game until we pass legislation to make it a real mall? How can we? How can you help us achieve that goal?
Again, Chair Devlin, Senator Axon, we're always wanting to cooperate with the state, and you know, the schedule of 2012 that can be modified. If our bonds sell, hopefully the financial arrangements can be made that the bonds sell and sell at the interest rates that we need. We can rearrange our paving schedule if there's an ability to work cooperatively and come up with a common design. We can move up that schedule. Again, we're very interested in working out any kind of design of any kind of interim improvement or permanent improvement with the state parks. So it's just a matter of getting with them and finding out who to work with and what kind of designs that they'd be interested in pursuing.
Any additional questions? Thank you both for coming today. Marcia Kelly. And Ms. Kelly, if you would identify yourself for the record.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Marcia Kelly. I'm a resident of Salem. I've been a resident of Salem since 1966. And I'm speaking on my own behalf because the board of the Salem-Keizer Transit District has not taken a position on this bill. But I can give you some background on it since I chair the board. It's a lovely concept, and I really applaud the idea of a grassy, friendly place in front of the Capitol, but I would endorse personally either the State Street having to be changed and other streets in the area having to be changed, or the idea of an underpass. We in Salem do not have enough east-west arterials, and that's one of the reasons why the transit system doesn't work on a time transfer basis. You need to have crisscrossed and adequate east-west streets, and we have very few. We serve about 2,500 of our state citizens, or your state employees, our state employees, we share, pretty much on a daily basis in the Capitol Mall. And if Court Street was closed, you would have access to the state buildings only at the very far ends, coming from the east, either on Marion Street and then wandering around, or on State Street as it is now. That's okay if you're really an able-bodied state employee, but if you are in a wheelchair, have other mobility problems, that's probably not a really good way of serving 2,500 people and getting them to work on time. Currently, we have five or six routes that go that access the downtown transit center, which is located on in the area of Court and Chemeketa Street, bordered by High and Church Street. And we have five or six routes that actually come in and approach from the east and the south to get them there. So Court Street is vital to the transit system. And as Senator Metzger knows, because I testified on another bill and he mentioned it, and thank you, and I saw the amendments to that bill, so thank you for putting transit interests there. When the Capitol parking structures were built, the transit district was not consulted, and so the height of the ceilings on the underground does not allow buses to use that. And that took away one of the accesses that we currently were then using, and so parts of the bus route, even more parts of the bus route, went onto Court Street. So we would like to be creative and think that if you are doing things with this, it would also be good to include not only the city of Salem in your discussions, but the transit district, because we also do major transportation planning. I'm sure the city would keep us involved, but it might make it would be helpful to make sure that we're players, because we transport 20,000 people a day on an average Monday through Friday, and a majority of those people, and a great number of those people, about a quarter of those people are state employees working in the Capitol Mall area.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Kelly? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today. Mr. Potter from State Parks. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Potter. I'm Assistant Director for Operations for the Parks and Recreation Department. And management of the State Capitol State Park became the park's responsibility starting in January 1st of 2008, and we've picked up the duties that the Department of Administrative Services previously did for the areas around the State Capitol building and around the buildings on the mall. Senate Bill 661 would change the boundaries of the park and, as has been discussed, would make that a pedestrian area out in front of the State Capitol. I really just wanted to come here today to let the committee know that the work that was prescribed in this bill was not in the governor's recommended budget for the Parks Department, and that there would likely be a fiscal impact on doing this work. But we do acknowledge the need for some planning in this area and are very interested in the idea, and also understand that as has been discussed, there are many groups and agencies that are interested in have strong concerns about how this area is used and managed, and we stand ready to work with the city, the foundation, the legislative administration, and everyone, Department of Administrative Services, and everyone else who really is interested in this area. So that was thank you.
Any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you very much. With that, I will close the public hearing. Committee members, it is my intent to bring back
465 for a future work session, but we are waiting on fiscal and revenue impact statements. Please remember that this committee is not subject to the deadlines on Senate bills that other committees are subject to. We will not be meeting next Tuesday. We will be meeting next Friday. We're trying to avoid extra meetings now because of the road hearings for Ways and Means, and because the other substantive committees are in many cases holding evening meetings also. So with that, we are adjourned until next Friday.